I'll tell you why that means something to me here in a little while when we get there. It's, if you want to take out your outlines, it's real. Today, the title of today's lesson, we're in part 9 of Spiritual Growth Through Prayer, and going to look at how to pray throughout your day. It's real obvious that the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, prayed all the time. If you go back to a lot of the books that he wrote in the Bible, he starts with prayer. And he always says, you know, I'm always praying, or I'm continually praying. Or he says, to pray without ceasing. And I never stop praying for you. Well, how do you do that? He gives us a wonderful example in Ephesians 6. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything that you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. And always pray for all God's people. Now, in that one verse, he gives us 7 instructions. Now, I don't have you any blanks to fill out right there, but you can write these down. He gives us 7 instructions about how to pray. And the very first one, he says, number one, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. That just means to let God lead you. You know, listen in to the impressions that he's given you, or might have placed somebody's image on your mind. If you get an image of someone on your mind, pray for that person. You know, I got tickled when I seen Sam come in. I haven't contacted him this week, but his image had been placed on my mind several times during the day when I'm in the shower or something, and I'll pray for Sam. But a lot of the folks that are gone, and I'll just pray for them. And so when somebody placed, when God places an image on your mind, that's what it's pray in the Spirit. You pray for them when that happens. And then it says, even ideas, if God gives you an idea, or you think it's from God, it may not be from God, pray for that idea. But the second thing is pray at all times. Here's the thing, there's no bad time to pray. There's no bad time to pray. You can pray anywhere. And students, that goes for school too. Just because the government says that they took prayer out of school, you can still pray. You can still pray, just pray. The third thing it shows us is there's all kind of prayers. There's not just one right way to pray, because it depends on your emotions or the circumstances that you're in, how you're going to pray. And the fourth thing is that it says asking for everything you need. What that tells me is there's no subject that's off limit. When you want to talk to God about something, you pray and you talk to him about it. If you're interested in it, here's what I want to tell you. I told you 2 weeks ago. If you're interested in it, God is interested in it. Amen? If you're interested, he's interested in it. And here's my thing to you guys. If you worry about it, pray about it. We have anybody in here worry a little bit? Well, I want to tell you this. If you prayed as much as you worried, you would have a lot less to worry about. So just pray. When you go to worry, just flip that over. So just pray about it. Instead of worry, pray about it. And number 5 says always be ready. What that means is you just got to have a plan. You just got to have a plan. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We got to have a plan for prayer. Because you can plan for prayers. You know, spontaneous prayers are great when you're in that moment and you need, but we got to have a plan for some prayers too. So we got to plan them, be strategic, and think through what you want to pray, where you're going to be, and when. So you got plans when you, number 6 is that you never give up. I love what he says here. You never get up. You give up. You never stop praying. And then number 7, you always pray for all of God's people. Everybody. And you can't do that in 2 minutes. Not in the morning. That's what, you know, a lot of people tell me, they say, well, I pray about 2 minutes, you know, before I get my day going. Well, you can't pray for everybody that you're going to meet, that you're going to see in a couple of moments. So you got to get a plan to go here to throughout the day. And so how do I do this? How do I do this? Well, I think you do this by developing 2 habits, and we'll get into number 1 real quick. If we're going to pray throughout the day, number one, we got to keep a running conversation with God. We got to keep a running conversation with God. You know, what I mean by this is just talk to God like you're talking to anybody else. Because here's what I've started practicing. You don't have to end it like you do in prayer, in regular prayer here, to keep a running conversation with Him. You can talk to Him, and then I can jump back and talk to Nick or Soon, and then I can jump right back into my conversation with God. What I'm saying is if Soon asks me something while I got this running conversation with God, I don't have to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, what did you say, Soon? What I'm saying is just keep this running conversation and just go back to it. It's just kind of keeping it. What I'm talking about is kind of like breathing. Y'all know what I mean? It's just natural. Well, I tried this week to kind of think about breathing. You ever did that? You just about can't breathe. When you think about it, it's become so natural. Then I was trying to think about breathing like I had a heart attack. Almost had to get a paper sack and start it all over again. But breathing's just natural. And keeping a running conversation with God, that's what I'm talking about. Just let it become natural. That'd be the natural thing to do, and you got to do it by developing that habit. And all you do is instead of talking to yourself, talk to God. Anybody talk to themselves in here? I do it all the time. So instead of talking to yourself, talk to God. I was going to talk about the commercial that used to come on when I was young, Tarleton Cigarettes. Y'all remember that? He said, I'd rather fight than switch. Guy have a black eye. I know I ain't the only one that remember that. Hey, thank you, Scott. Thank you. And so what I'm saying is make the switch. Make the switch. Stop talking to yourself. Talk to God during those things. I am glad I'm not the only one. Wasn't it Tarleton? All right. That's all right. But just make the switch. And, you know, it's just a conversation with God. It's just you talking to God about what you're interested in at that particular moment. Amen? Right at that particular moment. And it's not formal. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads, anywhere, anytime, any place. Pray, pray, pray. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People have told me they don't feel like praying. Now, if I don't feel like praying, what that means is I don't pray what I feel. If you don't feel like praying, it just means don't pray what I feel. Because if the only time that you pray is when you pray about stuff that you think that God wants to hear, that's just boring. That's just boring. But when you talk to God about how you feel, you're going to feel like praying. You're going to feel like praying about what you're interested in. And when you don't feel like praying, you're probably just praying about the wrong thing. So pray what you're interested in. Amen? Pray what you're interested in. Whatever's on your mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. Pray what you're interested in and never stop. Here's my favorite part right here because this is me. Number two, schedule prayer. Schedule prayer times throughout my day. Schedule prayer times throughout the day. Now, we're going to talk about this the next couple of Sundays. And I want to tell you, this ain't a new idea to schedule prayer throughout the day. This has gone on probably since the beginning of time. Y'all remember we talked about Daniel about a year or so ago, how they prayed three times a day. And even goes back to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire rung a bell every 3 hours. It started around 6:30. That meant it was time to go to work. And 3 hours later, it was time to take a break. 3 hours later, it was time to go to lunch. And dig this, they took lunch for 3 hours. Yeah, what's up with that? But then they didn't get off work till 6:30, so the bell rung again at 6:30, and then the bell rung again at the end of the day. Well, now, that was all what the Roman Empire did in all their communities. That's what they did. They rung a bell and people done to that. Well, the Jews and Christians, what they done was they said, hey, we'll just pray at those times. So they prayed at those different times throughout the day, every time the bell rung. And then that's why you see bells at monasteries and older churches and stuff, because the tradition was that they would ring the bell every 3 hours. And when that bell rung, the people in the community would pray. Even today, the Catholic Church does it. It's called the liturgy of the hours, that they pray every 3 hours. And so that went on for a long time. But then the monasteries kind of felt sorry for the guy that had to come there every 3 hours and ring the bell. It got to be sort of worrisome, and they had to be committed to it. And so here's what's interesting. Here's what I found interesting in this week. Instead, you know what they did to help the guy? To ring the bell? They invented the clock. Did you guys know that the clock was invented for prayers? That's right. The clock was, and I take it even a step forward. Your wristwatch was invented for worship. Every 3 hours, you prayed. Now, isn't that something? Did y'all know that? I didn't either till this week. I just thought it was real interesting. I wanted to share that with you. This is the time to pray. Psalm 119, 164 says this: seven times a day, I praise you. I praise you. Now, the liturgy of prayers is huge. It's volumes and volumes. It would just probably, be honest with you, it'd probably bore me trying to read it. But Jesus put it a simpler way, and this is what I want to teach you today, is through the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is a model for our life, because Jesus said, pray like this. Pray like this. Not that you should pray this, but pray like this. Because remember back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't make a vain repetition of it. And so you don't have to say the same thing, but you should. It's a model of how you and I should pray, not what we should pray. So I want to look at this, take a typical day that you and I have, a typical day that every one of us have, and kind of break it down in seven phases of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm only going to do three phases today in the interest of time, but I want to do a daily schedule built on the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of one that I try to go by, and you'll see why in a minute that Lee sang El Shaddai. But the first thing you do is number one, get up with gratitude. This is the first thing we do in the morning. Some of you guys work at night, I know, but it's to get in this mode of thanksgiving. The very first thing we do when we wake up, before we get started, is that we get up with gratitude. Before you eat, you know, right when your eyes open, you start with being grateful to God. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You got a choice of what attitude that you're going to have when you get up. Did y'all know that? You can be grumpy. You can be grippy. Somebody told me the other day, said, did you wake up grouchy this morning? I said, no, she's still asleep. She didn't have it going. She ain't in here yet. But no, I mean, it's up to you. I got some people in my family that wake up grunting. You know what I'm talking about? You talk to them. Good morning, Luke. I mean, I just shouldn't have said his name. Good morning. Well, you've got a choice to wake up in a good mood or not, whether it's grunting or grapping. But you can wake up with gratitude. With gratitude. It's your choice. You know what I read? I read this one time that doctors have discovered that the single most healthiest emotion is gratitude. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Being grateful is good for you. So why not develop a habit of starting every day with gratitude? being grateful. And especially grateful to God for everything that He's done for you. I haven't done this yet. I kind of got mine memorized. But I would suggest this. I can't keep mine beside the nightstand because I wake up long before Angie does. And if I turn on a light and read a list, she would just go ballistic. But I would suggest get you a written list of what you're grateful to God for. You know, I'm going to try to fill out one that's alphabetically, you know, and you know, that I can memorize. But I've got a lot of things of mine memorized. I'm thankful. I was thankful this morning. I said, thank you, Lord, for my design. Thank you that you designed me to be who I am and for your purpose and plan for my life. I like my design. And so those are just some things that I'm talking about you can be grateful for. And I'm going to tell you something. The attitude, this has also been proven, the attitude that you have for the day is set in the first 8 minutes that you're awake. Did y'all know that? That's why some of you got a bad attitude around lunch. Because you've been sour all morning. I'm so glad to see you here this morning, Angie. She turns 50 tomorrow. She don't look 50, does she? But yeah, you're the attitude that you have for the day. I want y'all to think about that. The attitude that you guys have for the day is set in the first 8 minutes of waking up. I know some of y'all make some jokes about that. But it's true, isn't it? Y'all know. It sets the tone for the rest of the day. So get up with gratitude and start off with gratitude. I mean, what do you have that God didn't give you? He's given us everything. It's all a gift from God. And what this attitude of gratitude does too is for me, is it lets me focus on Abba, a loving Father. A good, good God. When I'm grateful for what He has given me. Because that's the first phase of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 8, and 9 says this. Jesus said this, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. So start by thanking God for His goodness. You're a good, good Father. You're caring, you're close, you're compassionate, you're consistent. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the clothing. Thanking you for allowing me and the rest of my team to beat Woodland. I really liked anybody from Woodland in here. Good. I liked that when I saw that, Kyle. You're the man, I saw that. But you just thank Him. You just thank Him. Write this down in your outline. I thank my Father in heaven for His consistent love, and I recall all of the ways that He's good to me. All of the ways that He's good to me. We can make a big list with that, couldn't we? All of the ways that He's good to me. Start your day that way. I want to ask you, start your day that way and see what happens. Now you get ready to eat. Number two, we're getting ready to eat now. We've gotten up. We've gotten out of bed. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't eat breakfast till later, but I have a cup of coffee. It's the first thing. But here's the thing. Write this in. Number two, I bless God's name at breakfast. This is the praise part of our prayer. I bless God's name at breakfast. You know what bless means? It just means to honor Him. It just means to respect Him, to adore God. And this is the second part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:9b says, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Respect be to your name. Honor and praise your name. So I want you to bless His name. Whenever you eat breakfast, bless His name at breakfast. And when are you supposed to do it? Flip the page over. Psalm 145:2 says, every day I will bless your name and I will praise it forever and ever. Every day. Well, what's the big deal about God's name? You heard Lee sing that a while ago. What's the big deal about His name? Man, this is mentioned so much in the book of Psalms. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Back then, your name is really your character. Your name is who you are. You know, and even today, you get a loan based on your good name. If you got a bad name, nobody's going to loan you any money. You know, if you got bad credit, bad name, bad reputation, you're on your own. But God says, when I make a promise to you, it's based on my name. His name. His name. And here's the thing I know. God can be trusted. God has integrity. Now, today, we kind of pick names for our kids based on the way they sound. We try to pick out a cool name. My mother picked out a cool middle name for me, Franklin. Isn't that cool? Franklin. Kyler, what do you like to be known as? Franklin Pelfer. But in the Bible, your name might have been given because of what they thought you would be, or what they thought you could be, or what your character might be. Do you know what Jacob is? And the reason why I looked up Jacob is because it's where Jim comes from. Jacob meant swindler. So when people see me walking down the streets, what's up, swindler? And do you know what Jabez means? Painful. When he walked down the street, they said, boy, when your mom had you, she must have hurt. She named you Painful. But your name gets attached to you. And then guess what's happened? You start living up to that name. So names are important. In the Bible, God has probably 100 names in Hebrew and group. And it's kind of actually a title. But each name represents a character quality found in God. And I put a few of them on your outline, a small list of them, of the ones that I like, the ones that I kind of use a lot. And Abba, your loving father, you've heard me talk about that. Eldia, your God who knows everything. Jehovah Rapha, I love that one. Your God who heals you. And then the one Lee just sang about, God Almighty, with all the power you need. And they're all throughout the Bible to bless and honor his name. Guys, all prayer is based on how much you know God. And the more you know God, the less you're going to worry. I'm telling you, the more you know him, the less you're going to worry. So you can just relax. Peace. Peace. And the more you know God, the more confidence you're going to be. If you lack confidence, get to know God. Get to know him. And the folks that we've been talking about identity a lot in our elders meeting on Wednesday mornings. And the folks that have a problem with their identity just don't know God as well as he wants them to know. Get to know your Creator, and the better you'll know yourself. And let me go back to El Shaddai. The reason why I love this song, and I about got to crying with Lee, and then we're singing it a while ago, was every morning my second phase of my prayer after I'm thankful. I make my coffee, and it takes, I'm the only one that drinks coffee in my house, so I drink instant coffee. And I heat my water for 2 minutes and 40 seconds. So I stand there in my microwave, and this is almost every morning that I do this because I know I need to praise him. I stand there watching that coffee go around, and I sing to myself, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. And I don't know the words, I just say El Shaddai. And I don't sing it as great as they do. But he loves it. He loves it. I'm just me and him, standing there in my boxers, watching my coffee go by. That's why I say you can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. And he loves me. And he loves y'all. I just think I'm his favorite. Shaddai, El Shaddai. And that's what I do. Pick you a time that you can praise him. Pick one of his names that you like. I like Abba. I like El Shaddai. I like Jehovah Jireh. Just pick one of those names. Psalm 9:10 says this, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. I know I missed a blank up here. Let's go back. I review God's names and I think about the promises that they imply. You know what Jehovah Jireh is? Somebody knows. Provider. When I think about Jehovah Jireh, I don't worry about the next meal that I have. He is my provider. It's a good thing to do, get to know the names of God and know what he's like. And guess what? You'll relax. You get to know his names and start calling those names, you'll have peace. Now here's the third phase. You're at work. I'm trying to go through your day here, or you're at school. Here's what I'm saying. Somewhere about mid-morning, 9:30, 10 o'clock, take a short prayer break. Take a break. Now, why would you do this, Jim? Well, do you ever get distracted from your real work? You ever get distracted from it? Yeah, everybody does. What I'm talking about, you ever feel like you're not getting nothing done when you should be getting something done? You ever feel like you're just wasting your time? 2 hours after you get there, you feel like you got your priorities all out of whack, that you've lost your focus? Well, that's when you need to pray. It don't have to be long. A couple of minutes. Believe me, you're wasting more time on your employer with Facebook than you are a prayer. Amen? Take a minute at mid-morning. And number three, remember what matters most. Remember what matters most. At mid-morning, I want you to remember what matters most. Just a minute. Just a pause. And think about what matters the most. You say, God, I've lost direction for the last hour and a half. And I need to think about what matters most. Matthew 6:10 says, here's what matters most. May your kingdom come. And may your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Now this is sort of redundant, because where God's kingdom is, his will be done. And where his will be done is where his kingdom is. So it's sort of redundant. But what it's basically saying is, and what you say when you read this, is, God, I want your agenda, not my own. I'm at work, but I want your agenda. And not my own. Because here's what I know. God's agenda will be the right thing. We're just going to mess it up. So mid-morning, remember, I'm going to keep saying this. Remember what matters the most. This is the principle of dedication. Is this, write this down. I align myself with God's purpose and plan for my life. I want to use this time to remind yourself that there's something a whole lot bigger than what's at your table right now. Right now. My wife is I told y'all something about this before. I'm very proud of her in that she puts his kingdom above her own. She had a young man in her class. She teaches the gifted, so she has one grade a week in there. She had a young man in her class, and she once a week, when that kid would leave, she'd say, I want to tell you, you got potential. You got potential. And this little kid probably was coming up rough a little bit and didn't receive a lot of encouragement. But my wife made it a point. She said, it's more important about the kingdom. Every week she'd say, you got potential. Well, this kid's a valedictorian this year. He's been accepted to Princeton. He emailed her and thanked her for those two or three words. I see potential in you. I see potential in you. I see potential in you. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. His will be done. His will be done. God has a plan for the world. He really does. But he also has a plan for me and you. So about mid-morning, you got to remind yourself what matters the most. God, I know you got all this stuff to do. God, but more than anything else, I want to do your plan and not my plan. Your purpose for me. Your purpose. When you align yourself with God, when you align yourself with God's purpose and plan for your life, here's the deal. He'll help you get your work done. You ever notice that? When you take a little time. What I've noticed is when I don't take time to do my quiet time during the time in the morning, and when I don't take those mid-morning pauses, my day is messed up. I don't get anything done hardly. It's all messed up. It's all messed up. And I'll even go further than that. When I lay down to sleep at night, if I don't do two things, if I don't say, God, is there something else that you need me to do today? Would you bring it to my mind? And I give it a few moments, and if nobody comes to my mind, then I say, God, may I rest. If I don't do those two things at the end of the day, I don't sleep well. When we depend on God, our day is better. I'm telling you, so take that mid-morning kind of stop. There, one of the greatest Bible promises that we have in the Bible is the last verse that we have here. If you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all the other things will be given to you as well. Guys, I really want you to get this one. If you seek first. If you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all those other things will be given to you. His plan, his purpose. If you don't have enough time, put God's agenda first. If you don't have enough money, put God's agenda first. If you don't have enough energy, put God's agenda first. If you don't have enough skill, put God's agenda first. If you don't know which way to turn at work, put God's agenda first. How am I ever going to finish this assignment at school? Put God's agenda first. Put God's agenda first. Watch him stretch your day. Watch things happen in your day. Pause and pray. God, I'm more interested in what you want me to do than what I want to do. This opens up all kind of power. Because remember, what El Shaddai means? Power. Where the power comes from. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Something Adonai. Put me first. He said, just put me first. I'll take care of everything else. Matthew 6:33. He said, just put me first. I'll take care of your business. He said, just put me first. I'll take care of your relationships. He said, just put me first. Just put me first. Until we can get a habit, set your alarms. Remember, that's what the clocks are for anyway, for us to worship. Let's pray. My Lord, El Shaddai, where the power comes from. Jehovah Jireh, I thank you for your provision. Thank you for your forgiveness, Abba. I thank you for your closeness. My Lord, I pray as we develop habits. As 600 or 700 people begin to pray, miracles are going to happen. I thank you that Miss Shelby was given her sight this week to pray, to read. I thank you for the impressions that you lay on my mind to pray for people like Sam. So I pray for the future of my children and for the children here. Keep your hand on our church. You have no plans to harm us, but to prosper us, to keep us from the evil one. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus, El Shaddai. Amen.